We read from the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, around the 43rd verse. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of God. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting what Paul was saying and blaspheming. In Jesus' name, beloved of God, it's quite fitting to read from the 13th chapter of Acts on the last day of the 2016 mini classes, because in this chapter, Paul and Barnabas, sent on a missionary journey from Antioch in Syria, are now conducting a mini-class of sorts that shook up the town of Antioch in Pisidia in Asia Minor. It started out quietly enough. On the Sabbath after they arrived, Paul and Barnabas went to sit in on the local synagogue meeting. At one point in the service, they were asked by the synagogue leader if they would like to speak to the group, be a presenter. That's how Paul became a presenter. And although it was surely not the first time he had spoken, it is the first recorded presentation by Paul in the New Testament. It's the first time we hear him use the word justified. And in this chapter, we also hear him called Paul for the first time. So what was this mini-class that caused such a ruckus? Well, it was a history lesson. It has been said that someone who does not know history is like a person with amnesia. He does not know the background of the people he meets, or even his own background, a severe disadvantage. But Paul knew the background of the Jewish leaders of the synagogue. It was the history of Israel. And he was brought up in the Greek culture of Tarsus, which was a Gentile town under Roman rule. So he also knew something about the non-Jewish converts in the synagogue. Paul's sermon, however, was not occupied with material things. He did not discuss the physical culture, whether Greek or Roman or Jewish. Said nothing about food, whether prohibited or allowed. Nothing about medicine, not even cosmetics. Nothing about clothing styles or lack thereof. Nothing about housing reform or the differences between Hebraistic and Hellenistic educational systems. There was no political discussion about Roman authority. Instead, Paul's whole presentation in this first sermon we have in chapter 13 dealt with things that are central to human life: God, life, and that which comes between sin. Between us and God and life. It's not that Paul held material things in contempt. He himself was not ashamed to work at a trade, but he was not there to show them how to build a tent. The Savior that he proclaimed went beyond those incidentals by which people differ from one another. And that's why both Jews and non-Jews could be interested in the Jewish history that Paul presented. And that's why they asked him and Barnabas to speak to them again next Sabbath day. And although his talk might have had some resemblance to the talk which he had once heard Stephen deliver on the day of his death, Paul did not speak primarily about the actions of Abraham and his offspring. No, he talked about how God had chosen his people, how God had made them great in Egypt, and how God had led them out, how God had put up with them 40 years in the wilderness, how the same gracious God had destroyed 7 Canaanite nations before them, and how He had distributed the land to them. He told them about how God had given them judges to rule over them until Samuel. And when they were dissatisfied with this arrangement and asked for a king, He gave them a big one, a head taller than anyone else. He gave them Saul, who ended up going his own way. And when God removed Saul, God raised up David, one who would go God's way, who would walk the path of repentance and forgiveness. And from David's descendants, God had brought a Savior, Jesus. This good news that Paul spoke that day applied to Greek and Jew alike. But perhaps Paul saw a head shaking in the audience, for he closed the session with the warning not to reject the tremendous blessing that this God of grace and mercy had brought them. The next Sabbath, most of the town was gathered to hear Paul and Barnabas, and that's when the Jews began to show their jealousy. It was one thing to have some non-Jewish converts join their synagogue, but for such a crowd to come, they could take over and change the way things are run. That's when some important differences appeared. The Jewish contingent began contradicting to the point of reviling the Savior and the grace of God. They were jealous. The Gentiles, on the other hand, Luke says they were glad to hear the good news. There are many material differences between people that are really immaterial. But there are some differences that can come between us and God, the God who chose us for life. And as we consider the lives that we have been given, whether these days or any days to come, when we consider the lives that lie before us yet, may God grant us the wisdom to see the importance of the eternal blessings, and, as Paul and Barnabas urged them, to continue in the grace of God. The last two stanzas.